afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Your feet in the air, your head on the ground.
How about hour number three on a Tuesday? Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings, Trey Elling, producing, getting you the great intros.
I like this song.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All of Trey's intros are incredible.
But we hear this a lot, and I think I like it more and more each time.
It's a good one.
I'm slow with music, as you know, so give me like 20 listens and I'll start hearing stuff. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
We got a few football stories we're following today, including the John Bonney and Eric Cuffey transfers from Texas. DJ Durkin still technically hanging on to his job at Maryland, but the strength and conditioning coach has been fired. Plus, the university is taking full responsibility for what happened to that kid in May and June. The young man that died.
For him passing out, but for how they handled it.
For how they handled it. They've apologized to the family. They're obviously going to be paying them a lot of money.
Yeah, tons of money. Yeah. And that family deserves it. Now the question is, it looked like they had gotten a really good young coach. And we saw that last year as he came in here and upset Texas. Was a defensive coordinator at Michigan with Jim Harbaugh and was a highly respected young guy, kind of a defensive version of a Tom Herman, right?
Somebody brought up maybe he could end up back at Michigan if he loses this game.
He could, but I mean, I like Durkin's defense at Michigan. I like Don Brown's defense more. I think Don Brown may be the best defensive coordinator in college football right now.
So you wouldn't touch that at all?
If you're
Harbaugh.
If I'm Harbaugh, now if Don Brown leaves, then Durkin was a good really good coordinator.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with this situation with Durkin.
Real quick, guys, because I was getting Ryan Abraham on the line whenever Kevin was commenting on the intro there. If you were asking who that was, Trampled by Turtles is the name of the band. They are a banjo-heavy band, but they do a really good job, and that was a cover of a Pixies song.
Okay, I love that song.
Trampled by Turtles, what a great name.
I feel like I just listen to that song over and over in the background.
All right, we ready to roll? We good? All right, let's go to the Vaqueros hotline and talk some USC football. They are our number 14 team in the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Reliable Automotive, and we bring in Ryan Abraham of USCFootball.com. Ryan, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. Now I got to go Google Trampled by Turtles, but that'll be good.
Yeah. Right. That's a great name for a band, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Trampled by
Turtles.
Well,
Ryan, you know the way it is here in Austin. We got to mix some sports and music in there. You guys probably do the same thing in L.A.?
Yeah, there in Nashville, Austin. Yeah, it kind of goes hand in hand. I like it.
Some cities just ask for the musical thing. All right, so Ryan, is it going to be musical chairs at quarterback for USC, or do we know who it's going to be? I keep hearing about the freshmen. Is there a battle going on? What is the talk around the team right now?
Yeah, officially, according to Clay Helton, we asked him yesterday, still a three-person race. You have redshirt sophomore Matt Fink, redshirt freshman Jack Sears, who was actually same high school as Sam Darnold, who just left, and then the true freshman JT Daniels, five-star player, Gatorade Player of the Year coming in. He had a really impressive scrimmage on Saturday. I kind of think it's down to Jack Sears and JT Daniels right now. Matt Fink didn't have as many reps in practice yesterday. We'll see what he does this week, but it looks like JT Daniels is the favorite to win this one, but I think Jack Sears has been really impressive too. So it's going to be up to Clay Elton. I don't get paid enough to make those decisions, but my guess right now would be JT Daniels.
Oh, whoever gets the job, you got a back to hand it off to in an offensive line. We'll get to those two things here in a second, but you also have got some talented receivers to throw the ball to. You're going to have some options or some opportunities to throw the ball up in the air. Talk to us about Tyler Vaughns, Michael Pittman, and also the freshman Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, it's a great trio. They got a lot of good receivers, but Tyler Vaughns was a five-star guy that came in and redshirted his first year, which is kind of rare. It doesn't happen all the time. But then he really had a gangbusters year last year. And Michael Pittman came in the same class, actually played more as a true freshman, a lot on special teams and stuff. But those two guys have been a really good, impressive. You see, like, strong hands catch the ball, high-pointing the ball. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown is JT Daniels' teammate from high school at Mater Dei. He's just come in and been crazy. He had three touchdown catches in the scrimmage the other day. You know, it's a scrimmage in fall camp. It probably doesn't mean that much. But just from watching him over the summer, watching him in high school, and seeing what he can do when he put the pads on, he's really been impressive. So, yeah, there should be some good guys to throw to for whoever wins that job.
He didn't punt the ball after the touchdowns, though, did he?
I think he did once. He likes to do that. He would spin it. And, you know, if you saw him at the, yeah, the Army All-American Bowl, he likes to do that kind of stuff.
He knows that doesn't work in the Pac-12, right?
He can do it in Austin if he wants.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, free 15 yards. If, you know, but if they, if he's doing something good enough that he can punt the ball, the coaches will probably be very happy with it.
Probably, yeah, will. They might. You're maybe right about that. How about the tight end position? That's something that is becoming even more and more important in college football these days. Anybody that you think will get national attention at the tight end?
Yeah, you know, they have a true senior, Tyler Petit, who's just kind of a steady guy. But if you remember in 2016, Daniel Metorbebe, who was a freshman at Florida, ended up transferring to USC, really explosive playmaker down the field, and was a favorite target of Sam Darnold. Now, he had some hip problems and was out most of last year. He's back now, and he looks really good. And I like Josh Follow a lot. He's a true sophomore, 6'6", 240 pounds or so, really nice hands. I like him as a good pro prospect. We'll see how far he comes along, but those are two of the guys that I think are the bigger playmakers from the tight end spot.
I think Texas fans were surprised last year. The Texas defense did a pretty good job against that offensive line. I look at the line this year, though. You got four starters returning, mostly pretty highly recruited guys that are veterans now, and then Austin Jackson, who comes in, who's a sophomore, played in 14 games last year. Are they expecting this to be a strength of the team?
I think it's going to have to be, but it's really a team that's underperformed, a unit that's underperformed the last couple of years. And they went like a 6 or 7 year stretch of getting a new offensive line coach every year. They've had Neil Callaway there for 3 years now, the entire, you know, Clay Helton era. They got four starters back. Like you said, they're going to move Toa Lobendon from left tackle to center and probably have Austin Jackson, who's a five-star player, fill in for that spot. And they're 15 deep. I mean, they got 15 scholarship guys, and none of them are like two-star dudes. They're all 4 and 5-star guys. They should be really good. I just don't think this team is going to be able to go very far. They won't be able to go on the road and try to beat Stanford and Texas unless, you know, early in the season, unless you get this line playing well. They give up 9 sacks early in that scrimmage that they had on Saturday. So there's still some questions there. The coaches say, well, it's the quarterbacks. They didn't get rid of the ball fast enough, things like that. But I think this is a real concern. They're, on paper, it should be a very good offensive line. Will they all play together and play well? That's what you have to wait and see.
I know it's a scrimmage, but 9 sacks. So we all kind of turned our head here in the studio. Did the defensive line look that good?
They, you know, this one guy who's kind of like the Tyler Vaughns, maybe for this year, Jay Tufele, was a highly ranked defensive lineman who came in and redshirted last year, which was interesting because I thought he was the most talented guy coming in. He's been an absolute beast in the spring. He's been great in the fall. He's actually got some physical beats on some of the offensive linemen. The coaches were saying most of the sacks were just the quarterback not getting the ball out in time or moving off their spot, and so they weren't being protected. So we'll see, but it's certainly a concern. That's something you want to watch, especially play an athletic defensive line like Texas has.
Talking with Ryan Abraham, USCFootball.com is the website. If you're on Twitter, it's at Inside Troy if you want to give him a follow as we get closer to that game on September 15th here in Austin. All right, so Ryan, when you look at Stephen Carr, obviously he and Jones together made a pretty good, you know, duo. Do you think Carr's now ready to take that next step and be the guy? Can he be a feature back, and is he going to be scaring people all season long?
He's pretty scary when he's got the ball in his hands. You know, he was out for the whole spring. He had back surgery, but he's played quite a bit so far in fall camp. I don't think they're going to try to just make him the feature guy where he's just getting everything, but they want him to complement some of the other backs they have. And you could see, you know, from Texas, Cedric Ware, also from the Dallas-Fort Worth area that Ronald Jones is from. He's a true senior. Whenever he's got, you know, double-digit carries, he's had over 100 yards. He just hasn't had that many opportunities. He's been bagged up a little bit. I kind of think those two guys as a duo, they'll mix in and out. Maybe use some two-back sets, probably not a lot of them. But I think they can both catch the ball out of the backfield really well. We've seen some explosive moves from both of them in fall camp so far. But Stephen Carr's that guy that's just so electric. You're gonna remember his plays a lot more. But I think Cedric Ware can be a good complement to him this year.
Jack Jones is gone. I think Hawkins is gone, too. When you look at the secondary, some returning starters, who do you like in this group?
Yeah, it's a really deep group. This whole defense is as deep as I remember from, like, back to the Pete Carroll era. Like, you could probably put a whole senior secondary out there and then a whole freshman one coming in. So it's kind of mixed where they have a lot of really, you know, veterans with a lot of experience and then a bunch of freshmen and redshirt freshmen that have really, you know, really talented that look good. So I think it could almost be an addition by subtraction with no Jack Jones. He just seemed to be, I don't want to say cancer, but there seemed to be some kind of attitude issue when he was in there. And it seemed to have cleaned up a little bit since he's been gone. So we'll see how they're able to replace him. They got Jonathan Lockett coming back, who's been injured the last couple of years with hip problems. He's a redshirt senior. He could come in and be like an impact player too. So they got a lot of good names there, a lot of veterans, a lot of former 4- and 5-star guys. It should be a pretty good secondary, and I think they can rotate a little bit more than what they were doing in the past.
Has Amon Marshall, as a senior, lived up to that number one billing?
You know, he would have liked to have been gone after his junior year. He did not want to be around for his senior year, but he just didn't perform that well. I've seen him make strides this offseason, and I think it was humbling a little bit. He never thought that he would be a senior at USC. Like, that was not the plan. So we'll see. He's had some penalty issues. He's got getting beat deep. But he seems like he's changed his attitude a little bit, and I'm expecting big things from him. A lot of people thought he might move to safety because he's that big of a guy, but he's staying a cornerback. I think he's going to have a pretty good year. We'll see. But he's that 5-star guy that hasn't quite lived up to that billing yet.
Ryan, who's a guy on defense that you think Texas fans, by the time we get to September 15th, they will have seen him make a play against Stanford or multiple plays? They'll have seen something against UNLV where they really stand out. Is it Cameron Smith, or is there another guy or two that you think Texas fans will definitely know about by the time we get to the 15th?
Now, if he's healthy, Porter Gustin would be a great pick for that. He was banged up most of last year. He actually played in the Texas game after having surgery 4 days before, and then we didn't really see him again to one game.
Right.
But he's a double-digit sack kind of guy. One guy to watch for, and I think he'll be in the rotation, is Levi Jones, who's from the Austin area. He actually probably had his best play of the year, I think, chasing the Texas quarterbacks around in the game in the Coliseum. I've just thought he's so athletic, and he needs to find his way onto the field somewhere. And I think they're going to rotate more with a deep linebacker core. I think he's going to get in a little bit. So, Porter Gustin's kind of the name you'd expect, but maybe a Levi Jones comes in there and plays in front of his friends and family and does well.
Yeah, I've seen the, looking at the USC depth chart, they do seem to be deeper than Texas, at least more experienced players. But we've talked a lot about the true freshman class that's come in and already made an impact in summer or fall camp. Who have you heard, some of the either redshirt freshmen you were talking about or freshmen that are names we don't really know, but we're going to know here in Austin in a couple months?
So outside linebacker, Kanai Mauga from Hawaii, he's been a terror. He's coming in, and actually when Porter Gustin ended up having minor knee surgery, he should be back by UNLV or Stanford at the latest. But he's come in wearing number 26, just flying all over the place. We'll have people come to practice and go, who's 26? So, yeah, freshman kid, wasn't all that heralded from Hawaii, like a 3-star kind of guy. But you see him come in. I think he's added like 30 pounds of muscle. Just an absolute beast out there. And I'd like, Raymond, there's a bunch of linebackers in this team, Palier, Noah Teote, Raymond Scott, Elijah Winston. I think all those guys have the potential. But at the secondary, Elijah Griffin, he's wearing number 4 for USC. He's been getting some first-team reps. I don't know if he's going to end up starting, but I think he's going to be in that rotation at corner trying to replace Jack Jones, we talked about. So there's a bunch of, impact freshmen besides the, JT Daniels and Amon Ross St. Brown on the offensive side. Couple of these defenders, too, sprinkled in might get some good run.
I'm sorry here, Ryan, but my co-host is just in love with great college football names and sports names, and USC has some great names, man.
Oh, some great. It's fantastic. Did you hear him say Aka Cedric?
I know, yeah.
And that kid's
he's
from
a Texas.
Texas
kid, yeah. He's
from Texas. Aka Cedric Ware. What a name.
There's a lot of Polynesian names. And
right.
They're phonetically pronounced, but there's some tough ones to pronounce there. But yeah, some really good ones. Solomon Tuiala Pupu. There's a lot of really good ones.
That's a great one.
That is a really good one there. All right, so Ryan, at this point, considering what he's been able to do these last couple years, nobody's ever completely safe, but is the talk around Clay Helton, has it finally calmed down? Because it went from an interim status to can he save the job? And of course, there was the year that they started bad, but then they came back. Is he good for maybe a year or two where people aren't talking about his job status all the time?
Well, he just signed an extension, so you would think so. But
okay.
There's still a significant percentage of fans on our message boards that still are not fans of Clay Helton and just don't think he can be the guy to get you to the next level. And then last year, losing to Ohio State badly, losing to Notre Dame, those are the games that the fans care about. So if he goes on the road and loses to Stanford, loses to Texas, there's the chatter's going to be all back up there. There's still a little bit of it, but if he doesn't perform well in the big games, the games that matter, I think they're going to be on him pretty good. I think he would be safe. unless they had some collapse like a 7-5 season, maybe something would happen. But I think it would just be a lot more chatter otherwise. So there's a lot of fans that are, you know, really happy with them, you know, winning the Rose Bowl, winning the Pac-12 and all that. But there's a significant portion that's like, you know what, this is just not going to be a playoff caliber team under Clay Helton. That's what they believe. So it's kind of a prove it year, I guess you could say, for Clay Helton.
There's been a lot of talk here in Austin about Tom Herman being a former offensive coordinator and play caller, and what kind of involvement he has with this Texas offense that's been struggling. USC offense not struggling nearly as much, but I'm curious, you know, with Clay Helton and T. Martin, how much involvement does Helton have as a former coordinator with the game plan and scheming offensively?
Yeah, it's kind of, we try to ask about that. It's not always clear, but and it's like, where did this come from? Because it didn't seem like, you know, this was Clay Helton's offense. It just seemed like it was someone that has been passed down through the decades. But I think it's really a collaboration between Clay Helton and T. Martin. I think when Tyson Helton was here before he went to Tennessee, he was a part of that. Now it's Brian Ellis. It seems like more of a, you know, it's not like this is mine, this is yours. It's this, you know, they've worked together for it. It's kind of a teamwork thing. And this year he's going to let T. Martin call all the plays. Last year was kind of a mixed thing. So I think Clay Helton's tried to, you know, stand off a little bit. But I think he was very involved in the planning of the offense. But I think he's going to let T. Martin kind of run things now that everything's set in the playbook.
And is the fan base, are they happy with third-year D.C. Clancy Pendergast?
Yeah, I think for the most part. I mean, he does give up a lot of big plays, but they led the nation in sacks last year. So I think he's good as far as he knows that you have athletes. He lets them get after it. And, you know, there was criticism about not rotating enough. I think he's going to rotate more this year and really leaving the cornerbacks on an island. But he likes to force the negative plays. And I like the philosophy. I think it works pretty well for USC. They just give up too many of those over-the-top ones. There's too many penalties. So they can clean that up a little bit. It should be okay. But for the most part, I think fans are pretty happy with Clancy.
That is Ryan Abraham. Check out uscfootball.com, at Inside Troy on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. Ryan, we always appreciate it, man. Always good to talk to you, and I'm sure we'll catch up again before September 15th.
That sounds good. Looking forward to the trip down there.
Yes, sir. Have some fun, Ryan.
Be glad to have you down. Texas fans are going to kind of hope it's hot, if that's all right with you.
That's okay. I'm going to play golf the day before, so hopefully not too hot.
We got a few places you could do that. Thank you, man.
Thanks.
Ryan Abraham. Yeah, if he's a golfer, you know he does a little bit of that. If you're living in California and then you're going to take a visit to Austin, you can play a lot of golf.
Yeah, a lot of people come down here and think maybe it's – I mean, I guess coming from L.A., it's going to be hot.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's going to be hot.
Just add the humid.
Add the humid. That's probably the main thing.
Add all that humidity for him. Thanks to Ryan, as always. Good stuff there. USCfootball.com, Texas, and USC on September 15th. USC will start with UNLV on September 1st. They are our number 14 team today in the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Reliable Automotive.
I'm having the NFL films issue with doing all these top 25 teams.
The NFL films issue that
you're getting the best of what that team has to offer.
They were 5-11, but they scared your pants off.
I thought
you watch 30 minutes, you go, how's that team 3-13? It just doesn't add up.
I thought you meant you wish that John Facenda could describe all these teams.
I do wish that, but it's easy to get into it, and obviously part of that is just being in August. You're gonna have a lot of positive takes on it, probably as you should. And some of that too is the teams we've been talking about, the last couple teams like Mississippi State, Stanford, and USC. I think do have the potential, if things go right, to be pretty damn scary.
See, USC is actually one of those teams that I think is very overrated right
now. You think
so? They're a team that you don't want to play at the end of the year, but I think through the first month of the season, considering some of the difficult games early on, some of the younger guys who are responsible at key positions, including the quarterback spot, that it's going to be a struggle for USC out of the gate. But by the time we get to mid to late October, they will be one of the better teams in the Pac-12.
Texas is going to have a good shot at this team.
I could go.
I think they will.
You really? Okay. I could go either way. I think they could be. I mean, I see what you're saying with Daniel, the true freshman quarterback. But one of the problems with this program, too, is they've either underperformed in certain positions, like the offensive line. If you look at all the highly recruited guys, I'm glad Ryan hit it. Ryan's exactly right. I kind of set that question up like Texas stymied them, and they did. So those guys haven't lived up. If they live up to their potential this year, watch out. And that could be a tough thing to predict, that these juniors and seniors are finally going to live up to their billing. And then the other thing, too, is injuries. I mean, this has been an injury-prone defense, an injury-prone team that – I wonder who they have in October.
And even though this defense was good at getting to the quarterback last year, statistically, yards given up, points given up, they were very average across the board. And much like with Oklahoma this year, the defense is going to need to pick up a little bit of the slack that is inevitably lost by the offense losing so many key pieces. For Oklahoma, of course, it's Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. For USC, it's guys like Sam Darnold and Ronald Jones.
They lost Jackson last year, right?
Yes, I believe that was last year.
No, I mean, they lost him the year. Last year was the first year they didn't have him.
Correct.
And they lost
Smith-Schuster as well.
Smith-Schuster. Uh-huh. They lost Smith, we talked about, the linebacker who was there but injured. I mean, you get this combination of also, I think they've done a marvelous job of stockpiling talent considering where they were with scholarships. And some of that's just being in Southern California, but you're in between coaches and you've got a scholarship problem. And I look at their team, they're deeper than Texas.
Yeah, it would seem so.
And on paper, they are. We'll see.
And when he talked about how deep that defense is, it doesn't sound like a Pac-12 versus Big 12 matchup, but that could be an interesting defensive battle on September 15th. Neither team hit 30 last year in an overtime game.
No, but I'm with Trey. I'm not a huge Pendergast fan. They're very aggressive, and they will get after you. As much as they're coming after you, you can go over the top, right, and actually gash them at times. They're just a little too loose for as talented as they are.
And part of the reason why I think Texas will handle them pretty easily is because they're going to be licking some wounds coming off of that Stanford game, a team that is very capable of big plays, especially with Bryce Love in the backfield, Costello developing like he has. That's going to be a big loss for USC, I think, to open conference play. And then USC is going to be out of sorts when they come to Austin the following week.
I will give my pick for Texas-USC September 9th, Chad.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
We'll find out exactly who USC has.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are waiting on that to really figure it out. All right, coming up, we'll get you the big three, including what Maryland did today in terms of firing a coach, but not firing that coach, and two Texas football players have decided it's time to transfer. Looks like one of them might transfer in conference. We'll get you that story coming up on the Horn.
Guys, whenever I am talking Texas football or playing golf like Ryan Abraham was talking about doing when he comes here from California, or let's be honest, when I'm dealing with people from California, all of those things are much better off when I have some cold Coors Light to do those things with. That's because Coors Light is the world's most refreshing beer. It's also the official domestic beer of Texas Longhorn football. Coors Light was established in 1978. Born in the Rockies, a place of endless exploration. That's where a new discovery lies around every corner and at the top of every mountain. Coors Light is lagered cold for a lighter, crisper taste, filtered cold to ensure brilliance, clarity, and brightness, and packaged cold for peak refreshment. Make sure if you're planning on having a few Coors Lights tonight during football season, when you're out playing golf, when you're dealing with people from California, that game plan should include drinking responsibly. Use a designated driver or take public transportation. Take the pledge to get home safe. Together we can all enjoy the game, prevent drunk driving, and keep our community safe. Great beer comes great responsibility. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Though I may be far gone, know that she's my only desire.
Stay in her arms where the moon is shaded. It's such a good sound. What do you got there, Trey?
More St. Paul and the Broken Bones. The song is called Apollo.
St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Love it. Good sound.
How about this? Ryan Abraham, already taken care of. Specs text line. If he wants to play at Onion Creek, I'll host him. Onion Creek's pretty good, isn't it?
Onion Creek, I believe, is a very nice golf course.
Yeah. I believe that's the golf course that Aaron Hogan is now a member of.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's down. But that. I mean, they've had some golf tournaments there before, whether it's celebrity or seniors stuff. I mean, I think that's pretty well respected. I
believe the 2019 Ryder Cup is being played there.
What?
No.
2019 Ryder Cup. Played at Onion Creek.
Shut up. Just stop it.
You know, he's changing time for us.
Just stop it. Ryder Cup is coming up this year, though.
That's why I said 2019. It's not played in
good
odd
job.
Years.
Right.
I didn't even get that part of it. I just knew it wasn't going to be played at Onion Creek, silly poo.
What's a Ryder Cup's every two?
Every two years.
I believe it's every four.
Is it every four? I thought it was every two.
Maybe it is every two. I'm not that
big of a fan of golf.
You don't know.
What are you doing?
We have to double check.
Well, I was looking yesterday or Sunday, and Tiger is not an automatic qualifier, but they're laughing. Tiger's definitely going to be in the way he's playing right now. And then some of the young Americans that have already qualified, Brooks Koepka there, Spieth, Thomas. It's, you know, I kind of like where we're at now. It seemed like we were full of dysfunction there for a little while.
And plus, the last couple times, a guy like Patrick Reed has become an awesome Ryder Cup player. I think it's him and Spieth have become a team that they really like together. For some reason, they kind of bring the best out in each other. Patrick Reed is the perfect guy for a Ryder Cup because he's kind of a villainous guy anyway, and he doesn't care what you think of him. Those emotions start to pump in him, man. That's he's a great guy to have on the team. That's going to be a fun team, especially if Tiger keeps playing like this.
That's my favorite golf event.
Oh, it's awesome.
Because it mixes the other stuff I love, the dirtbag element of baseball, the raucous element to a good football, basketball, or baseball game, the electricity you can get.
My favorite, when I realized the Ryder Cup is something I should pay more attention to, is when I heard that back in the day, during a particular Ryder Cup, the American team got mad at Seve Ballesteros because he would rip the Velcro on his golf glove at the moment somebody was about to hit shots.
Oh, God.
Like, that's how bad it... That's how weird it gets. And the fact that they would remember that over the years, the American team, it drove them crazy. Like, that's... And ever since I heard that story, I make sure when I'm on a golf course that I never do that. When someone's about to swing, take a putt, anything, I wait. Even on a practice range, I wait till somebody takes a swing and then I'll rip the glove. I remember that story, but I can't wait for the Ryder Cup this year.
I do weird things, just especially like... just walking. Sometimes I don't want to walk in front of people's line, so I do that weird thing that golfers do where you have to step over it.
You've got
angly thing where you've got like a straight leg working and a knee kind of bending just to finish the putt.
It's great how we do that even when we know we're playing a round of golf that means nothing.
Do you guys really do that? I was kidding.
I do it.
You do it?
Oh, I'll do it for somebody, yeah. Don't step in the line.
I'm playing golf, I can see that.
Yeah, there are similar rules of etiquette with video games, though, Kevin.
You don't step in front of somebody when they're playing video games.
You're talking my language here. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're talking my language here. By the way, got football fired back up.
Ready to go? What year?
Same year, but working on Dynasty.
With?
Georgia Tech and then Trey and I have a Dynasty.
Georgia Tech. Wait, are you guys doing this again? I thought you
Georgia. We never finished it.
It just came to a screeching halt.
Really got started.
You blamed him because he's married with kids.
I did. I blamed him for the marriage.
I thought that just went away. You're trying again?
I didn't blame both kids.
No.
I blamed Calvin.
No, you blamed him for having the kids.
But I blame more Calvin.
Calvin is a little a-hole.
He is. He's a rough little kid.
Are you guys still doing this Colorado thing? Is that what that's doing?
Well, no.
We
moved on to Georgia.
Georgia.
So I think that Trey and I are going to complete this season within 2 or 3 years.
Well, best of luck.
So it's going to even mean more. Like, what if it, 3 years into it, we win the SEC championship?
By the time we turn 45, we will have completed the 2006 season.
It's good to have goals.
Well, it changes, too, because at age 17, you could go through 9 years of a dynasty in a weekend. Did you sleep at all?
Nah. Yeah, we're good. Yeah, coffee.
Coffee.
Lots of it. All right, let's get a quick Big Three in here and catch you up.
The Big Three.
The Big Three is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
The old Bill Hicks. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. He goes, that's not a brain. That's breakfast. We've been up for 48 hours. We're starving.
Texas players going to transfer. John Bonney and Eric Cuffey both announced today they're going to transfer. Cuffey's headed to Trinity Valley and then somewhere else. He's a sophomore, if you don't know. John Bonney's already graduated, so he's got the graduate transfer situation, and apparently he's going to Tech. Texas Tech had a starting cornerback get hurt, tear his ACL, they believe, over the weekend.
What'll be their farm team?
Octavius Gibson is the name of the player. Did I get that right? Octavius Morgan got hurt, so maybe John Bonney can fill in there, but that's the word that John Bonney is going to go to Tech. Maryland calls a press conference today and really accepted responsibility for this player's death back in May and June. That was Jordan McNair. They say they, quote, accept legal and moral responsibility for the mistakes. They also met with that family today.
Isn't it nice to see a school not caring about the libel part of the situation?
Yeah.
And even going so far to say, look, you could take us to the cleaners if you, I mean, this is...
Yeah.
This is clearly going to be used whenever we're settling this, and we're okay with that.
Yeah, they said we wanted to meet with them to express on behalf of the university our apology for the loss of their son.
Wow.
And, you know,
that would have been a tough, tough meeting there.
Legal and moral responsibility. Good for Maryland, like you said, to step up and do that. DJ Durkin has not been fired yet. He's still on leave. But Rick Court, their strength and conditioning coach, is now done because of the situation there and how they handled or didn't handle things when the kid collapsed back in May.
Yeah, go do blow and go fish with, like, Richie Incognito. You know, I mean, it just sounds like a complete meathead. And I know strength and conditioning guys are going to be that to some degree. It was too much of a degree.
Yeah, sounded like it.
From the reports we've seen.
Absolutely. Rangers in Arizona tonight with Gallardo going for Texas. Houston's going to send Verlander to the Hill. That's always a good idea. That's against Colorado. Quick little two-game set before they get back to AL West business. And if you missed it, the Redskins released Orlando Scandrick. They're going to go with some young guys. They feel like that's a good option opposite Josh Norman. So Orlando Scandrick is available. Jay Gruden says another reason he did it is so Scandrick can catch on with another team. So Orlando Scandrick, he's out there.
Boy, we just got nice coaches all over the place here.
He's not, right? So sweet.
Texas Tech lost our cornerback, so we're going to go ahead and help them out because we're buddies. This is all, it's a sport.
In the state, pals.
It's a pal. We're pals. We're buddies.
They are chums to the end.
Northeast people use pal a lot more, and it's usually code for, it's kind of their version of what's up, sergeant, what's up, colonel.
They say pal.
Yeah, and then they may know your name and still say pal, but there's too much pal. Hey, pal.
Yeah, I've never, that word's never really
been. I feel
been
like a, we're pals.
Never been a big part of my life. I'm going to question someone if they said, you know, Chad and I are pals. I would think they're kidding.
I will too, and I think a lot of that's regional. I don't know if you heard that more in Chicago, but I heard it a ton in the Northeast, and I just didn't grow up with it. We were buddies. We were friends.
Yeah, I'd rather hear buddy.
Right. Buddy was probably more what I heard of. But
a lot
that was
of
also,
pals and buddies in the Midwest.
My dad's a buddy guy because he comes from Chicago, so he would bring that down, and I wouldn't hear that a lot, but he'd always be like, oh, you hanging out with one of your buddies? My dad didn't talk like that, but, you know, I wanted to...
That was a dead-on Bob Dunn right there.
Wanted to really, really hammer that.
Perfect.
Oregon is a big chum state.
Chum?
No, they don't chum.
Say, they don't say chum.
Sure they do.
No.
Do they?
It's all the weed.
No, they don't.
It's all
they
the
do
weed.
Aggressively, or they passive-aggressively drive slow in the left-hand lane, right?
Yeah, nothing passive-aggressive about that. That's just blatant.
Blatant?
It's out-and-out aggressive?
Well, but I say passive-aggressive because they're not going to make eye contact. They're not going to, oh, why are you mad at me? I'm just driving here in my own little lane.
No, passive-aggressive, that's the correct way to state that because it's not like they're giving you the finger as you're speeding by them. And by speeding, I mean going the normal speed limit because they're going 10 below in the left lane.
But it really is aggressive. I know what you're saying, to where they are meaning to try and piss you off, and they are. I've seen two California plates the last week in the left-hand lane. California plates, get especially your plates, move over.
Wow, getting on the plates themselves.
No,
I was talking about drinking Coors Light when I'm dealing with Californians. That right there.
That's it. All right, coming up, we will check the voicemails. Also in the crap bag this hour, got some old schools for Kevin. I got a would you rather for Kevin. The two women are 17 years apart.
Oh, God.
So
thank
you know,
God. I thought you were going to say 17 years old.
So you know.
I'll do both.
You know the older one's got to be something if I think this is actually a competition. So we'll see what Kevin thinks of that. Plus, I got some preseason football notes for you from the NFL, including a running back that I think could be interesting for fantasy owners because you know my expertise when it comes to fantasy football. You're going to want to pay attention. This is The Horn.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
What kind of soap did you use on your fingers?
I started with Dial, and then that wasn't going to work, like, in the sink. And so that night, I mean, showered it off hard, tried as hard as I could.
Did you try the lava soap?
No,
lava
I did not.
Lava was always good back in the day.
Irish Spring. We stick with the people in the Dunn household.
Fair enough. All right, let's check on voicemails 337-3776.
Even though the Borowitzes own that, probably.
Any voicemails from the people, Trey?
Three voicemails.
Here we go. Voicemail number one.
At the beginning of the show, you talked about deleting football from your DVR after a year. Unless it was a national championship. Well, as Longhorn fans, we don't even have to leave it in the DVR because the Longhorn Network will show it at least 2-3 times a week for the next 12 years.
Sean, I was there for like 4 or 5 years. I've run into that joke a bunch. I could feel that one. I could feel that digging when he said hello.
You could feel it on the way.
Fair point.
Voicemail number two.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't play music by a band called Trampled by Turtles when we're fixing to play the Maryland Terrapins. And it's also a little insensitive given, you know, the fact that kids are dying over there.
Oh, come on. Come on, man.
Why did you end with that?
A little sensitive, right?
That's a good call, though. Did you guys put that together, the turtle thing?
No, I hadn't thought of that.
I saw a frog last night.
Yeah.
And was riding my bike, came back, and there's this frog coming out of the drain. And he's just kind of popping up and sees me, and so you can hear the bike and can see me coming, and then pops back down. And I thought, we should do frog legs. Like, we should kind of get back to, for every tailgate, definitely have an animal that you're playing if you can. And I know they do, some of them do that.
Turtle soup. Trade
as a tailgate. Yeah, was that turtle soup last year?
Turtle soup?
I don't remember turtle soup last year, but that could very well serve the first game.
That could serve the first one.
See, my mind immediately goes to what do you serve when you play USC?
Or the Golden Hurricanes?
Give out a bunch of condoms. Hey, by the way, what's the website called again? Inside Troy?
His Twitter handle is
Twitter.
At Inside Troy.
Inside Troy. Okay. Well, I'm glad I don't have to Google that.
Yes. That's a good thing.
I bet there have been like at least 35 people in the San Fernando Valley that have tried for that email in the last like 15
I know,
years.
In that state
right,
too.
Right.
The state could get mixed up quickly.
And finally, how about voicemail number three?
Yeah, this is Shane Bouchel. I'm going to graduate in December, and I just want to know, Mr. Herman, I would like to go play for Lincoln Riley next year, or maybe Clinton up in Texas Tech. What do you think?
Oh, interesting. I don't think Tom Herman's going to feel the same way about that situation that he would about John Bonney.
No.
Just guessing.
Have we found out yet if he can block this? Because I was under the impression that he can. He can block if it's a scholarship, even if it's a grad transfer.
They had talked about taking that element of the rule away from coaches, but I don't think they did so just yet. I think because it still makes sense not to allow a guy to go to somebody on your schedule, the coaches do still have the option, and I believe that's also a conference-by-conference thing, too.
Okay.
Yeah, remember, because the NCAA wanted to throw those rules out, but then they still said, oh, yeah, and the conferences can decide what they want.
So, I love when they do that. I love when they do that.
What is that going to do?
It's like the feds getting involved and going, but the states, and I'm actually a state guy, but the states can really
states
run
can
it.
States can still do whatever they want, yeah. All right, we'll get the crap bag here in a sec. More crap bag in a second. First off, let me tell you about Lightstream. If you're thinking about saving money this summer, why not start by paying less interest on your credit card balances? Refinance with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with auto pay, a lot lower than that average interest rate on credit cards of over 18% APR right now. You can get your funds as soon as the day you apply. It's all there online for you. All the options are there. I've seen the website. Real simple. You don't have to talk to anybody. My listeners can also save more with an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount, go to Lightstream.com/Chad. That's Lightstream.com/Chad. Lightstream.com/Chad.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com for more information.
You see the Todd Bowles criticized Terrell Pryor, which is not usually a big story, but got after him pretty hard.
I did not.
So Bowles, the New York Jets coach, Pryor's wide receiver for them. I guess Pryor had been talking about injuries, and Bowles came out and said, Terrell doesn't need to be descriptive. I feel that he should keep his mouth shut and leave the injuries to me.
Whoa.
Hello.
Okay, coach.
Hello, camp.
Get them.
Had some fights in camp.
Can we get some extra Hard Knocks cameras over there?
Yeah, really.
Check it out.
Well, okay, can we not do two or three of those? Are we short on talent and cameras? Because I would watch.
I would too.
You've got me. I'm hooked. I'm one of these people that goes, oh, you watch Below Deck? Yeah, fill in the blank. Mediterranean, whatever. You watch Real Housewives? Yeah, fill in the city.
Yeah, if they put Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night this time of year, I'd watch all three.
I'd watch all three.
Yeah, I'm with
you. I would. You have me. I'm telling you have me. It's like College Game Day in 85. Don't do this 8 years late.
Did you see, you talked about fighting. Jacksonville had their thing where they had a scrum. Miami had a deal where they've released a defensive lineman. Gabe Wright is his name, played at Auburn. He probably wasn't going to make their team. But after a little scuffle, he went after Kenyon Drake when Drake didn't have his helmet on.
Jeez.
And Drake's their starting running back. So yeah, the message had to be sent. No, dude, you're out of here. We cannot handle that.
Jalen Ramsey was getting into
it. Correct. Jalen was getting in it with one of the Jacksonville guys.
They're going to cut him?
Speaking of, no, he's fine. Speaking of Florida teams, I wanted to mention I'm rewatching Miami and Tampa from week one of preseason.
Okay, I did not watch that one.
I'm through a first half. Couple of names that jump out. Kalen Ballage.
Remember that? Where did he go?
Remember the running back?
Yeah, I do. And
big body kid, 6'3", like 230.
I'm getting it. Where?
Arizona State.
That's right. Arizona State. Okay.
Runs well. Coming out of that conference, catches the ball well out of the backfield. Now, I'll be honest with you, as both a football fan and a Bucs fan, it doesn't look like the Bucs run defense is going to be that great. I hope I'm wrong on
that.
Even
with your Oklahoma boy?
I mean, yeah, obviously Gerald's good, but they've got a lot of talent that doesn't seem to be ready to gel. But it should be better. The defensive line should be better with what they've added.
I need to find out what those kids look like.
But I feel like they've added too much on the outside, and maybe they haven't added enough guts up the middle, especially if Vea's hurt, if Vita Vea can't go.
I was going to say that was their plan, that Vea with McCoy, I did not think that was going to be a problem. Maybe depth would be if they had injuries, but I did not think that up the middle they were going to get gutted. But with Vea out, that's a little different.
Ballage looked pretty good. So Ronald Jones is in Tampa,
okay,
the USC kid. He looked pretty good. Nothing is overly flashy. Right now he'd be their backup, I think, at running back. And then Minka Fitzpatrick is in Miami. Oh, Kevin.
I bet he looks good.
It looks like, let's just say the learning curve appears to be moving really quickly for Minka Fitzpatrick.
Shocking.
Couple great plays. There was a play where if he wanted to, he could have lowered his head and gotten the helmet penalty, but instead he keeps his head up. He got his hand in, knocked the ball away from a guy trying to make a catch on the sideline. Just really smart football play. You can feel, I mean, they're running him with the ones now.
Yeah, he's the new age of what defensive backs are going to be and what you need. I don't think you need the same physicality. In fact, I know you don't need the same physicality that you needed. Hell, even 5 years ago, and continue to increase that the longer you go back to where, I mean, hell, we had some linebackers, especially playing safety back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But even cornerback, I mean, sometimes you had receivers you couldn't catch, but he's one of those guys. I hope that Caden Stearns matches that, and I see that at least in his frame. Now, Fitzpatrick was for me, a three-time All-American type player in college. I thought he was that good, but his versatility to be able to play the slot, play corner, play safety, and he's physical. I'm not saying he's lacking physicality, but you know what I mean? That type of player, I think, is only going to be more what secondary coaches and coordinators are looking for as football evolves into more of a two-hand touch game.
That is a great point. I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's a good point. All right, let's just get to it, Kevin. Happy 52nd birthday to Halle Berry. Happy 35th to Mila Kunis.
Oh.
Mila Kunis, Halle Berry.
Don't make me pick.
I'm making you pick. These games aren't easy. We pick a game because it's difficult.
Can I have
sometimes
one up top and then one downstairs a little bit?
Well, we all know you would enjoy that. That's
okay.
A whole other thing.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me measure that right now.
I'm asking you if you're guaranteed one, but you have no guarantees on the other. You got to make a choice. What do you do?
I think Holly is hotter.
Holly.
I don't know why I call her Holly there.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that because she's kind of crazy.
No, I know Halle Berry. Well, that's actually what I'm getting to here is that I'd go with Mila because there'd be some talking there, and
because there'd be some talking.
Right, and I don't need anyone crying in the middle of it. I've had that plenty of times. I don't need stories about exes or even after. So Mila gets the win. I think Hallie is a little hotter.
That's fantastic. All right, fair enough. Old school time, kids. If you don't know this one, you need to learn it. Magic Johnson is 59 years old today. Old school.
Oh, Michigan State.
That's true.
Got God.
How about a number for extra credit?
Okay. Oh, this is gonna be fun. 33 and 32.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very
that always
good.
Got me as a kid because we thought of Magic as 32. At least I didn't remember him at Michigan State.
Me either.
When I thought of Magic in 33, what did I think of?
Larry.
Those two guys.
Because Larry wore 33. Good work on that. Yes, 33 at Michigan State, 32 with the Lakers. Mike Vrabel is the new coach of the Tennessee Titans. He's 43 years old today. He was a third-round pick, a three-time Super Bowl champ. Old school.
We almost mentioned he went to Ohio State.
Yep.
And we almost mentioned the defensive end that was opposite of him. Remember we were talking about Matt Fink today? Matt Finkus.
Yeah.
Was the defensive end on the other side?
Oh, I did not remember that.
Yeah.
Finkus. Of course you remember a name like Finkus. I love that. All right.
Finkus and Einhorn.
Here's the baseball one you better not know. Juan Pierre is 41 years old, and you better not know either one of these schools because he went to a really small school and then a slightly bigger school. Please don't know either one of them.
Oh, Juan Pierre. I want to say that I at one point knew the second one. I definitely don't know the first one, so it's got to be some community college or some junior college. The second one, I thought it was a historically black school. Florida A&M.
Thank God. South Alabama.
Hey!
South Alabama. Started at Galveston College.
No, did he really?
He played at Galveston College. I never knew that.
There have been a couple guys that have played at Galveston, and Pettit wouldn't have played there. Maybe Drabe. I'll look that up.
That's crazy. All right. Roy Williams, the safety, 38 years old. I think you know that one, right?
He's a Cali guy. Went to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
38.
Uh-huh.
And, boy, he just disappeared out of the league quickly.
Yep. He's 38 years old today,
He's 38. When did he stop playing?
First round pick of the Cowboys. I didn't look that up, but you're right. He did seem to get out pretty quickly. Also a Cowboys draft pick. Julius Jones is 37 today. He was a second round pick of the Cowboys at running back. Old school?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is absolutely correct.
Did you like him as a running back?
Yeah. I liked him. He wasn't a great pro, but I never thought it was his fault necessarily. I didn't love the team around him probably at the time.
It was a weird team.
He was okay. Mm-hmm. He was good to very good at times.
Bledsoe, right?
It was never great. Yeah, to me, he was never a great NFL player. And finally, Kevin, the magic of Tim Tebow turns 31 years old today. Old school and number.
Man, I got to give this guy some love. Florida, number 15.
Mm-hmm.
He was a badass college football player, and he's been able to make it more than I thought he would. I don't think I know he's never going to be a big league player. I think we can see that. But he's proven that he can take some quality at bats, and he's been able to prove it at the AA level this year, something I didn't think he could do.
He has sold some seats at that stadium that nobody thought was possible.
And really what I'm talking about is all icing. That's me being baseball nerd guy. I wonder if this guy can make the adjustment. Most people, and the people that are certainly made the decisions, don't care about that. Yep. If he was hitting 150 right now, they would have already gotten what they wanted out of it, which is selling tickets, getting some asses in the seats. The fact that he has hit pretty well, and the fact that he did, with a little help, got that AA All-Star game, man, that's just icing.
He is rehabbing that hand injury, and I'm sure he will once again be a part of the SEC Network coverage this year and maybe even more. He's doing a good job of that as well. Happy 31 to Mr. Tebow. 6 o'clock hour is coming up. Two Longhorns are transferring, and apparently one of them's going to end up at Texas Tech. And no, we're not making that one up. This is The Horn.